So we are in the third and final part of our series, The Secret Keys to Happiness. We're asking the question, what really brings us happiness? And to do that, we're looking at Jesus' words from right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, a really famous talk that he gave, and it's in Matthew 6. And in that, Jesus gives us three keys, three practical ideas that we can use today that give us lasting happiness. So 2 weeks ago, Philip kicked us off looking at when you give, and he explained that when we give, we're showing generosity to others. And that's something that we're discovering for ourselves across the country at the moment, actually the joy of giving. That in this crisis, it's not about how much we can get, but instead we see Captain Sir Admiral Tom raising millions and millions of pounds, people all around the country now more than ever wanting to give their money away. Why? Because they're finding that that's where real happiness comes from. We're not ruled by our money, but instead we can give it freely. It's so great that we as a church, so proud, we've given £8,000 or over since the coronavirus crisis started to our relief fund. Because we as a community have learned these lessons. We're learning that it's better to give, that when we're generous to others, we're not ruled by our money, but we can give freely. Last week, Philip talked about the second key, when you pray. And how actually that gives us an intimacy with God. I think so many people around the country are praying apparently 50% according to Tear Fund because they're looking for a connection to something bigger than themselves. And so when we pray, we find that connection and intimacy with God. And Philip gave us some really helpful teaching, following Jesus' words, a practical way in which we can dig into prayer in this time. And so finally, we come to part three, the third secret key, and that is when you fast. So we read about it in Matthew 6, again we're picking up in verse 16, and Jesus says this, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now at this point you're probably thinking this is the worst sermon series ever. In the middle of a global pandemic, my church is telling me that I've got to give my money away, that I've got to spend more time praying, and now that I've got to fast. Like food is the only good thing I have at the moment. It's the best thing. It's what's getting me through the day, and they're telling me I've got to fast. Or maybe your response is simply, well, fasting, that's something that, you know, the religious guys do, and the 2% can do that and they'll do it for the rest of us. I don't need to worry about that. But actually, what's really, really fascinating is that in this time of lockdown, we are all fasting. No matter who you are, if you're watching this, we are all fasting. See, fasting is just the voluntary self-denial of things that otherwise we need or give us pleasure. And so when the government says, here are the guidelines for ways you can protect yourself and others, we say, okay, I make a decision to go without things that I otherwise enjoy, things that I otherwise need, in order to serve a greater good. So if we're all fasting, if we're all doing it, we might as well ask the question, how can we do that in a way that brings us happiness? But first of all, to answer that, I want to skip ahead a little bit and look at Jesus' words at the end of chapter 6, because they're so interesting. He kind of flips the whole thing on its head. He takes a completely different tack. So up until this point, we've been talking about practices that bring happiness. But then right at the end of chapter 6, Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Do not worry. Jesus takes this script about happiness and he finishes it by saying, do not worry. This is amazing because Jesus knew something that was true 2,000 years ago, maybe is even more true for us today. That the biggest thief of our happiness is worry, fear, anxiety. That we can do all the practices we want, that we can strive after happiness all we want, but if our lives are racked with fear, worry, and anxiety, we'll never find true lasting happiness. Now for some of us, that looks like anxiety, depression, mental health disorders, things that we've spoken about in the previous series of Sound Mind. Go and check that out online. But actually for all of us, worry plays a significant part in our life today. All of us make decisions, whether we know it or not, that are driven in some way by fear. Fear of what people will think of us, fear of our finances and stability, fear of whether our life is what we thought it would be, whether we're doing the things we wish we'd be doing. If we're honest with ourselves, in different ways, worry has a hold on our internal life, and it stops us from reaching full happiness, contentment. And especially actually in this time of lockdown. I don't think it's bringing up anything new, this whole global pandemic thing, but what it is doing is a magnifying glass that's kind of zooming in and showing us the cracks that were already there. For some of us, we might be worried about finances, that you've been laid off from work or you're furloughed, you don't know if you're gonna be able to go back. And right now, your worry is, how am I going to put food on the table? Maybe you're worried about loved ones, about people who you care about, who maybe are shielding or vulnerable at the moment. Maybe you're worried for your health yourself. Maybe it's your mental health that is your worry at the moment, as lockdown takes a toll on you. This season of the coronavirus pandemic, for all of us, the overwhelming experience from day to day has often been worry. And so I want to ask the question, how are we dealing with it? What is our coping mechanisms? And we want to be a kind of honest, real community where we can be vulnerable with each other, where we can support each other. So here's what I want you to do. As I go and I shout out some of the ways in which we may have been dealing with worry, especially in this pandemic, it'd be really great if you recognize one that you think, yep, yeah, that's me, just give it a like, or maybe the care emoji, maybe type in the comments, yep, yeah, that's me, a hand up emoji. I like the shrug one. It's like a, yeah, that's me. Give it one of those. If you recognize yourself in any of them, just join in, because when we see other people saying, yep, yeah, that's me, I feel a little bit less bad for, you know, how I'm handling this, or maybe not. So here we go. The first way in which we may be dealing with worry now and in our lives in general is that we work our way out of worry. We work our way out of worry. We say that, you know, if we're anxious, if we're worried, if this global pandemic has got us stressed, then we're just going to dig in deeper. And in fact, we use worry to fuel us. We use it as like the source for us to keep on going. So you may be worried about food. And so at the start of the pandemic, you went into overdrive. You were the panic buying king or queen. And now you sit over us watching Metro Online on a throne of Andrex toilet paper. Or maybe for you, the way you're dealing with this is just by exercising really hard every day. It's like, if I can just do my exercise, then I'll be okay, then I'll get through it. We try and work our way through it. But that is true for normal life as well. Maybe you're someone who you worry that people don't really like you. And so you try and make up for it by saying, I'll go and I'll have 30 coffees with different friends each week. I'll be the life and soul of the party. Maybe you worry about your career progression. And so you throw yourself into your work. You say, if I just keep on working, if I push into that a bit more, then there'll come a time in which I won't worry anymore. I'll have reached the point at which I'm happy, I'm content in my career. Now, the trouble is that this is coming from a place deep within us of that kind of primal fear place, that drive within that says, if you just get that one more thing, if you just get that relationship status, if you just buy that next car, then you won't worry, then you'll feel content. And it's also coming a voice of culture speaking in, this consumeristic culture that says, get that little bit more, buy that little bit more, look that little bit better, then you won't have to worry. But actually, we know that this isn't true, that as we go after those things, we push more into worry, we just become more and more anxious. We can call this the Rockefeller fallacy. Call it the Rockefeller fallacy after John Rockefeller. He was one of the richest men who's ever lived. In his time, he owned 90% of oil and gas in America. And they reckon that if you adjusted his wealth for inflation to today, he'd be worth around $400 billion. This guy has got a lot of money. And a journalist asked him, how much money is enough? And his response was this, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Perhaps the richest man that has ever lived was asked, how much do you have to get for you to feel content, for you to feel happy, for you to not worry that you haven't got enough money? And his response was just a little bit more. We find this in studies as well. There's one study done of asking people, what is the amount of income that would leave you feeling satisfied? And across the board, whether you're earning pennies or whether you're a billionaire, people answered the same thing. Roughly 25% more than I'm earning at the moment. Someone earning 25,000 says, if I just earn 25% more than I do now, then I will be happy, then I won't be worried or fearful. But at the same time, someone earning billions says, if I just earn 25% more, then I'll be happy across the board. And it's just not true. What it does is it leaves us reaching for something, driven by worry and fear, saying if we push through this fear, if we dig in deeper, if we use it as a fuel to drive us on, then at some point we'll come out the other side, but that other side never comes. So my question for you is, what is it that you've been looking to? If you see yourself using this strategy, working your way out of worry, what is that thing that if you're honest with yourself, deep inside you say, if I could just get that, then I wouldn't have to worry. If I was just married to the girl of my dreams, then I wouldn't have to worry. If I could just get that car, then I wouldn't have to worry. If I just wasn't working this job and I could do that instead, then I wouldn't have to worry. If I just had this clothes, if I just looked this way, then I wouldn't have to worry. What is it for you that you think if I can work through it, I'll get there? Or maybe that's not you at all. Maybe you really are not the working through worry type. That sounds like a whole lot of hard work. And instead, you fall in the other category. You are the people who are trying to numb your way out of worry. And this global pandemic, you said, I can just numb myself out of this pain. You know, it's the Shaun of the Dead approach, that let's just go to the Winchester and wait for this whole thing to blow over. And for you, maybe that looks like as you're worried and nervous and you can't meet up with your friends for coffee, the bottle of wine instead starts talking to you at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, and then it's open, so you have a glass or maybe two and you sort of numb your way through it. How many of us, if we're honest, are drinking a little bit more than we should at the moment? Or maybe, you know, you can't see your friends in the evening and so it's the Netflix binge. And as that counter goes 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, on to the next episode, it's another 20 minutes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and you don't have to worry about normal life. We do this in normal life as well, outside of lockdown. How many of us work jobs that aren't as fulfilling as they hope they would be, or they're more stressful than we hope they would be? And so we work 9 to 5, but then we get to the weekend and finally it's a chance for us to relieve, to forget about everything that's going on, to forget about our stresses and worries. We live in the cocaine capital of Europe. It's not at the moment, but in February, March, you go out on the harbour side and what do you see? People that are trying to numb the worries and stresses of everyday life. The problem is, this is a temporary fix. It's a little dopamine rush. It's looking at the DBD tracker for your Amazon or ASOS delivery to arrive, and then it does, and then as soon as it comes, that rush is past and the worries still remain. So the problem is, whether you're in the group who are trying to numb your way out of worry, or you're in the group who are trying to work your way out of the worry, or you, like me, you dip in between the two, you're going for runs to try and work your way through it, but at the same time you're eating all the carbs in the house, and it's this big tussle between you, between the beer belly and the super fit human, and you don't know which end you're going to come out at. Whether you're dipping into both of these as a coping mechanism, the truth is, neither of them will stand up and bring lasting happiness. You see, the problem is this: both of them are driven by worry. Both of them are a response to worry. We listen to the fear and anxiety in ourselves, and we act accordingly by either digging in or just numbing that pain. Neither of them last as happiness. In fact, they rob us of our happiness. So, what is the alternative? Well, it's like Jesus said, simple, right? As he said, do not worry about life. Now, when you listen to that, I don't know about you, that for me is a bit like, especially a global pandemic, I mean, of all times, Jesus, come on. It's like when you're really stressed and someone says to you, just calm down. Not helpful. That is not a helpful thing. That's not going to help me calm down. And just like that, Jesus saying in a global pandemic, do not worry about life. That's not helpful at all. There's not some big worry lever that I could just pull down and suddenly everything will be okay. But luckily, Jesus doesn't leave it at that. He says, therefore, do not worry about life, because he has already, the therefore tells us, he's already given us a key to deal with this worry. And that brings us right back to fasting. Fasting is a way in which we can speak to our worries, to our fears, to that primal drive within us that motivates our actions in so many different ways, and says, I don't need to listen to you right now, that I am not ruled by you. Take the example of food. This is why food is the classic example of fasting, and it's a really powerful one. When we think about food, it's something we need, but it's also something that we want, that we see the cake and we want to eat it. But when we say, I'm not going to eat for 24 hours, that I'm going to fast from food, we're speaking to ourselves, to that desire within us, and saying, actually, although I may want to eat it, I don't need to, because I'm not controlled by that. It's a practice that teaches us a principle. What I mean by that, think about what Philip taught us in giving. He was saying that when we give money away, it's a practice that we regularly engage with, and it teaches us a principle, and that is that I am not controlled by my money. I could get a pay rise, I could win the lottery, it wouldn't matter, I'd still be able to give it away, because I'm not controlled by money. I can get it or I can give it, it doesn't matter. So I regularly give as a practice to teach and train myself to say money has no hold on me. That is the same with fasting. It's a practice that we do regularly, where we deny ourselves of things we otherwise might want. And as we do that, we teach ourselves the principle. That is that I am not controlled by my worries, my needs, the things that stress me out, that keep me fearful. I can deny them. I don't need to live by them. That's why it's so important when Jesus tells us that this is a private practice. We go back to his words in verse 17. He said, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. Basically, shampoo, little face wash, maybe a face mask, bit of fake tan maybe. Let people know that, you know, you're not all gaunt because you've been fasting, woe is me. But actually, it's just between you and God. He says, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's done in secret between you and God. If we're doing it as a display for everyone else to see, we're back to the same old problem where we're feeding the ego of needing to impress other people. Instead, this is a personal, private practice between you and God. It's a personal discipline. It's stretching those spiritual muscles to say that I can deny myself. And this isn't some, I'm not saying to you that you just ignore your feelings, emotions. That's bad advice. It's saying that I'm not ruled by them. Jesus goes on and he tells us, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether your clothes in your closet are in fashion. I love it. This is in the Message, the way it translates it. If you're following Jesus, it follows that you won't be so worried about what's on the table, about what is in your closet. We're not so worried about the temporary things. Why? Because our eyes are fixed on Jesus instead. And as we do that, as we fast, as we practice this, we teach ourselves a really important lesson. And that is that we may want it, but we don't need it. I may want to eat that cake, but I don't need it to be happy. I might want to have these clothes to look really great, but hey, I don't need it to be happy. I can drive around in a 2002 Ford Fiesta because even though I may want that Ferrari, I don't need it to be happy. I don't need a relationship status to be happy. I don't need that job, that career progression to be happy. I don't need to have a certain house to not be worried anymore. Because although I can take those things, I don't need them. I can deny myself of them. Because my happiness isn't found in that. It's in following Jesus. This is a really counter-cultural message. The world says that we need to, it's self-care, it's looking after ourselves, and there's truth in that, and there's a place in that. But real lasting happiness comes from saying, I'm not ruled by that. My eyes are focused on something else. So what is it that God is asking you in this time when we're all fasting to put down? Maybe you are the person and you know that actually you get a lot of your value from being seen as the life and soul of the party. You fear that people won't like you. And in this time, we're all sat in our rooms and we can't see other people. And God's asking you, would you put down that need to always be around people? Could you just be by yourself? Could you fast from those social relationships just for a while and learn to be happy just with me? Maybe for you, the thing that's been driving you is a worry about your career progression. You feel like if I just climb that ladder a little bit more, then I'll be happy. There's not a whole lot of career progression going on Zoom in our living rooms at the moment. Maybe that is a time when God is calling you and saying, would you put that down? Would you fast from that? Would you deny yourself the need for that and instead find happiness in me? And you know what happens when we do this? As we take our eyes away from what's going on around us and the material things, we learn to trust in God. Jesus goes on, and again, this is in the Message version. It says this, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find your everyday needs are met. I love it. Jesus tells us, I'm just trying to get you to relax, to not be so worried about what you're getting, but look instead at what God is giving you. Look at how God is providing for you. Actually, in this time, if you're a Christian, you say, I'm following Jesus. This time right now is a test of our trust. Do I believe that if I put down all the things that I care about, that I use to feed myself, that God will provide for me? Do I really trust that he has what's best for me? Or if you're someone, you're not really a churchy person, you just saw this online, or your friend invited you to come along and take a look, you're kind of confused and you didn't think you're going to be told what to eat today, but hey, you're here. You need to know something really, really important. And that is that your Heavenly Father sees you. He loves you and He wants what's best for you. In fact, I think there's some people watching this who you've been struggling with sleep, that you've been lying awake in the middle of the night, and in that you've been wondering, is there something more than this? You need to know that God sees your worry, God sees your fear, God sees your anxiety, and He just wants you to come so that He can bless you, so that He can give you everything that you need. He doesn't want you to see you wrestling with an unhappiness and worry. He wants to give you deep, lasting happiness because He loves you, because He's your Father, because He's for you. So come and ask questions. If you want to chat to me after the service online, I'll say hello and I'd love to talk to you about it, because I just so believe that in a world that is racked by worry and anxiety, they need to know that there's a Heavenly Father who has everything they could ever need. There's a Heavenly Father who wants to provide for them. Look at how He cares for the wildflowers. If you just deny yourself and your worries, that is what He wants to do for you. Do we trust Him? Do we trust that He has what's best for us? Actually, as we look around, what's really amazing is the conversations I've been having with people is actually, you know what? The things I thought I needed, they just weren't it. Actually, what I really need is family, my friends, the sound of birds singing, food on the table. These to me sound a lot like the everyday basic concerns that Jesus is talking about. That as we're locked down from the things that we rely on, we can see the things that God's been providing all this time. Now my worry is that we're learning these lessons in lockdown, and in a couple of months' time we'll go back to normal and we'll be stressed and we'll be worried and we'll be in the office late at night and we'll be trying to impress people left, right and centre, and we wouldn't have remembered the lessons that we've been learning. So that's why it's really important that this isn't just for lockdown, this is for life, that we don't just learn the principles of fasting and self-denial, but we actually put it into practice. And that's what we're going to be doing in our hubs this week. There are midweek groups at the moment. They're meeting on Zoom, obviously. We're going to be talking about how we practically put this stuff into motion. What does it look like for us to fast from different things? But the principle is so important for us as well. The principle that I can deny myself the things that I worry about because I know God will provide for me. But what would it look like if in a world, you know, coming out of coronavirus, we are going to be still a people that are racked by anxiety and worry as a nation, as a world? What would it be like if we as a community weren't that at all? Well, if we learnt what it means to say, I can deny myself if it means not being ruled by worry. If we were people who could have crumbs or caviar, we could have the 2002 Ford Fiesta, the Ferrari, we could wear Gucci or Gap or our grandmother's jumper, it wouldn't matter, because we're not about what we want, it's not even about what we need. We can deny that all because we're not focused on those things that make us worried or anxious. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus. What would that be like if we were a community who showed what it looked like to have real, lasting happiness that isn't swayed by our feelings, our emotions, or what we're worried about next? What difference would that make to the people around us? What would it be like if we were a people who gave generously, even more so than we are now, who continued to press into prayer in this time and came out of this time of fasting in lockdown and took that on as a practice for the rest of our lives? What would it be like if we said, this principle of fasting stands true for me, that I trust that God will provide, and so it doesn't matter what I'm worried about. I can give up, I can deny myself those small things because I trust that God has something better for me. We're going to go back into a time of worship in a moment, but first of all I just wanted to pray for a few people. Now you may not be very comfortable with prayer, it might not be something that you normally do, But we believe that just because we're not meeting together in a church, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to meet us wherever we are. So whether you're in your lounge, your kitchen, or your bedroom right now, I want to invite you, if you feel comfortable with it, just to be ready to listen to God, because he wants to speak to you, especially if you're someone and you know at the moment you are struggling with worry. That as I've been speaking about this, it's been ringing true that this is something that is stealing your happiness. What I want to do just for a moment is take a minute to invite the Holy Spirit, God himself, to come and bring us freedom in that. And so Father, we say, would you come? If you're comfortable, you might want to open your hands up as a way of releasing the things that we've been carrying. And so we say, these things that we worry about, we choose to lay them down. We choose to deny them from ourselves. We say that we can go without, and God, we ask that your presence, your spirit would come and meet us now. God, you love us. You know us. You see our heart. You see our worries. And God, we ask in your name there would be freedom. I especially pray for people who, as I said earlier, have been struggling with sleep because of worry. God, we pray that you would bring them freedom there. In Jesus' name. Amen.